Good morning and welcome to All Saints Church, Fordham and Atash Green. Today's Sunday the 15th of November and I'm glad that you've joined us for this live streamed worship service. My name is Francis Blight. The church community is not permitted to gather in our buildings during November, so there are just four of us here to deliver today's worship service. All that you need to participate in today's worship can be found in the Bible and in a copy of today's notice sheet. This is going to be our last week in our series of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And my message for today is entitled, The Secret of Contentment. I can't think of a better topic in these November COVID days. No doubt many are feeling somewhat fed up as the whole situation drags on. Let's pray together as we begin. Heavenly Father, we've come before you this morning to worship you. Thank you for a new day, a gift from you. During our present difficulties, we thank you for all the good things that we have in your world. We thank you for the warmth of our homes and plenty of food that we have to eat. We thank you for the many means of communication that we have to stay connected while we're at home. We come and open our hearts to you now. We want to see more of Jesus Christ, to know him better, and to know the secret of contentment in each and every situation. Please lead us today in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue in prayer with our first song, which asks God to prepare our hearts to receive his word and to show us Christ.
Christ, oh
Yes, we declare today that Jesus Christ is Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll show us more of yourself from Philippians, that we may know you better. Plant your word in us, Heavenly Father. Fill us up with truth. May it bear fruit in our lives. And we ask this especially in these November days of sickness and social restriction. We come seeking hope. We come seeking joy. We come seeking life. Would you graciously give us these things in Jesus? Amen. Continuing in prayer, we prepare ourselves to confess our sins to God. The words that we'll say together are on page 2 of the notice sheet. A moment of quiet, during which I encourage you to be honest with God in your own heart, and to ask him to show you your sins. We say together, Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess to you, I confess with my whole heart, my neglect and forgetfulness, my wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, and the good. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Nick Brett is going to bring us today's gospel reading.
Good morning. Today's first Bible reading is taken from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 43. That's John chapter 7, verses 37 to 43. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his word, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you please stand as we worship God together with words from Philippians chapter 2, which can be found on page 3 of the notice sheet. These words are at the heart of the message of Philippians for us today. Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please do sit down, and Nick is going to read today's passage from Philippians.
Today's second Bible reading is taken from Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. That's chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is our last sermon on Philippians, and I hope that you found the teaching series to be helpful. I hope that you've discovered new wisdom about what it means to follow Jesus as his disciple in the 21st century. On page 5 of the notice sheet is a box containing the question, "What have I learnt from Philippians?" And this is designed to help you to review the past weeks and to brainstorm significant ideas in the box. Over the weeks, we've looked at the following: the day that shapes our prayers, thinking about the coming return of Jesus. We've looked at joy, purpose and blessing through difficult times. Christ-centered choices, the humility of Jesus. Salvation shines, good examples. We've asked, where is our confidence? We've looked at running the Christian race, two ways to follow, seeking peace, and today we end with the secret of contentment. So I encourage you to take a few moments at some point today to have a prayerful think back and write down any ideas and truths that have been significant for you. And perhaps you could talk about these things that you've discovered in Philippians, maybe challenges or encouragements. And you could talk maybe in your growth group or with a friend or family member. Let's pray together as we look at this final section of the letter that Nick has just read for us. Heavenly Father, Jesus has the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? So we come to you now seeking life in your word. Please work in the power of your Holy Spirit to bring it alive in our understanding, that we might be changed and shaped by your teaching. And please teach us the secret of contentment. We need it so much at the moment, Heavenly Father. Amen. Well, please have your Bible open at Philippians chapter 4 so that we can look at some of the verses together. This talk has four sections to guide you through. As we come to the end of Paul's letter, we discover that it is, in fact, a thank you letter. And that's my first point for today. Philippians is a thank you letter. Paul is writing to thank the Philippians for the gift that they sent to help him while he was in prison. Please have a look with me at chapter 4, verse 18. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. In those days, there was no online banking, no credit cards or PayPal. If you wanted to give some money to a missionary church planter like Paul, you had to send a person with a literal bag of money, perhaps a little bit like this one that I've got here. The Philippians sent a member of their church community called Epaphroditus with the money bag. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now, it may be that some of you receive gifts through the post on your birthday or at Christmas time, perhaps from your grandparents or a friend or family member. When you receive a gift, it is good to write back and to say thank you. And this is one of the basic reasons why Paul wrote this letter. For Paul, the friendship that the gift represents is more important to him than the actual gift itself. The gift and this thank you letter were a way of the Philippian church and Paul the missionary strengthening their relationship and expressing love and commitment for one another. So Philippians is a letter of friendship and thanks. As we've worked our way through Philippians, we've seen that gospel partnership is one of the big discipleship themes in the letter. What we mean by gospel partnership is working together to advance Jesus' gospel in the world. And we've seen that as we invest together in making the gospel known, great friendships and love can develop between members of the church. As disciples of Jesus, we need to seek an increase of gospel partnership in our church community life. And today's verses show us that financial giving is part of gospel partnership. This is my second point. Partnership in Philippians translates the Greek word koinonia, which you may remember from previous sermons this year. I love the word koinonia and all that it means. In fact, it's one of my great goals for the church, that gospel koinonia would increase amongst us. Partnership in the gospel, or it could be translated fellowship in the gospel. The bag of money that Epaphroditus brought from Philippi represented the partnership in the gospel between Paul and the Philippian Christians. It's a physical sign representing gospel partnership. They are united together in the work of God's kingdom. Paul began his letter in chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So in that statement, he's referring to the gifts they've given in the past, but he's referring to much more than that, their camaraderie in the gospel, their commitment together in making Christ known. At the end of the letter, Paul reminds them of the history of their giving to his ministry. Have a look at chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Of all the fledgling churches that were beginning around the Mediterranean coast, the Philippian church had been particularly loyal to Paul. This shows us that giving to support mission partners and giving to your own church here in Fordham and Atash Green is one very practical way of expressing your gospel koinonia with others. Giving money shows a reality of commitment to a person or a cause. So when you give, I wonder if you think of what you're doing as gospel partnership. Often we think of our financial giving as giving to God. Well, that is right. In verse 18, Paul tells the Philippians that their gifts to him, are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. They're like the gifts that Jewish people would have sacrificed to God on the altar in the Jerusalem temple. That is, before the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. So they are pleasing gifts to God. It's pleasing to God when we give financially. But giving to Christian pastors and missionaries is also gospel partnership. It's another way of looking at Christian giving. Many of you will know the 11 decisions document that our church made 20 years ago in the year 2000. This principle of gospel partnership is part of the 11 decisions in decision number 5. We shall make spending on gospel workers a top priority. We also express this as a church with the money that we give away to other mission partners and churches. Later on, you might like to have a look at page 7 in today's notice sheet, which shows a table of our away giving for 2020. The table shows what we gave and to who. Our thanks go to our treasurer, Roger Miles, for all his diaconal work in administering this giving. This year, we've made gifts to 4 local churches in Essex that are part of the Renew Network. 2 in particular were to support them in a small way during the financial difficulties of the lockdown. We also express our gospel partnership by praying for the ministries and people that we support financially. And we do this at our prayer focus, with most months a mission partner joining us on Zoom so that we can pray with them and for them. On the Away Giving table are people and organisations that we've been supporting for a number of years. And please would you particularly pray this week for Sandy Russell and his family. We heard last weekend that Sandy has caught the COVID-19 virus. So let's support him and his wife Kristen in prayer at this time. This giving and praying is part of the glue that sticks Christian churches and ministries together, building the church locally and beyond the local congregation. This is a big part of gospel partnership. So Philippians celebrates generosity in financial giving to gospel workers. I encourage you, whether you're young or old, whether you have much money or little, that you give to Christian gospel work here at All Saints Church and throughout the world. See your giving as one part of partnership in the work of the gospel. That's my second point. Financial giving is part of gospel partnership. Now we turn to the subject of our own contentment. How can we be content when we have plenty and content when we're humbled and in need? So my third point is the secret of contentment. Discontent is a real issue for many, perhaps for most of us. We go through stages when we are discontent with our situation or an aspect of our life. The current global pandemic and a month of restrictions is a very appropriate moment to focus on this subject. There are many things to cause discontent at the moment. It's difficult to connect with our friends. Maybe you've lost your job. Perhaps you have COVID-19. You're stuck at home. Maybe you're bored and life has become monotonous. When you're discontent, I encourage you to look to God as your doctor and to look to his Bible for the prescription. Here it is in chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. I've learned the secrets of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is a remarkable thing for Paul to have written. He was writing from prison. He could say this while he was in prison. What is the secret to contentment? Many people think the answer is to get the things that they want. That house, that husband, that car, that device, that girlfriend, that toy. We think if we have it, we'll be content. But our generation has proved that this isn't true. We in Western Europe are one of the richest generations to have ever lived on Earth. Rich in property, mobility, and communication. Rich in food and drink transported from all over the world and available in our supermarkets. But with all this, our generation is very discontented. We don't get contentment by getting what we want because there's always more to get. There's always something else that we could have. Instead, Paul writes from a prison cell and he teaches us the secret of contentment. And I've got two parts for this. The first part is the secret of contentment is understanding that humble and painful circumstances are a normal part of following Christ. Verse 11. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Paul knows need and plenty. More literally, he knows what it is to be humbled and to have more than enough. The ESV translates it, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Need, brought low, humbled. The original Greek word is the same word used to describe Jesus' humbling in chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, same word, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus humbled himself by stepping down from heaven to become a human. Then he humbled himself further by stepping down to the humiliation of the cross. Paul's contentment results from his understanding of the shape of Christian discipleship. We've considered this in previous sermons. Because he knows that following Christ means at times to share in Christ's sufferings, he can have contentment in all sorts of difficult circumstances. Like, for instance, being in prison. And this is the first part of the secret of contentment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul lists some of the hardships that he suffered as he traveled around the towns and cities on the Mediterranean coast. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. In the midst of all this, Paul had learned that the shape of Jesus' life is the pattern and model for Jesus' disciples in their own lives. Being humbled or brought low is a normal part of the Christian life. But in the same way that Jesus was exalted to heaven, we also look to the promise of a glorious resurrection in the future. And this is why Paul pressed on towards the goal to win the prize for which God had called him heavenwards. So the secret of contentment is a right expectation of the Christian life. Understanding that humbling and painful circumstances are a normal part of following Christ. Human life has its difficulties, and following Christ will create difficulties in your life. When they come, it doesn't mean that following Christ has gone wrong or that you've somehow failed. They are to be expected. The way of Christ is at times a hard road. Sometimes need, sometimes plenty, humbled and abounding, hungry and well fed. Recognizing this is very helpful medicine when it comes to contentment. When we realize that this is the way of Christ, it enables us to be content in all sorts of situations. When we realize that losing status in the eyes of others is part of discipleship, it takes the sting out of it when it happens. We look to be faithful to God in every circumstance, and we look to him for our status rewards. This is what taking up your cross to follow Jesus means. So Paul shows us that the secret of contentment is understanding that humbling and painful circumstances are a normal part of following Jesus. And my second part of point 3. The secret of contentment is to face every circumstance with the strength that God supplies. Whatever Paul's situation, he looked to God to give him strength to persevere. Verse 13. I could do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, it's important to be clear that this verse doesn't teach that we can do all sorts of supernatural things like flying or making a square circle or building a house simply by thinking. No, Paul meant that he could persevere through every situation, however difficult, by the strengthening power of God. So I want you to imagine that you own a farm. And this is an illustration from the preacher Paul Crowther. On the farm, you grow all the food that you need. You have your own well. You can make your own power from the river. You don't need anything from outside. Everything comes from inside your own farm. Paul was like that farm. He had everything he needed inside him. Whatever happened to him on the outside, he was still content. So it's good to think, are you content inside? Or do you believe that the nice house will make you happy, or having that bit more money, or that slightly better job, or a husband or wife? What we find when we get one thing is that we want something else. We're still not satisfied. That's because we need to be content on the inside. You may think that life is too hard for you to be content. You have too much pain. Well, remember that Paul says, I have learned to be content. It's not easy. It can take many years. And I personally can't say that I've fully learnt this yet. I'm still a disciple wearing the red L for a learner. But God wants to teach us contentment. The Stoic movement of Paul's day aimed at contentment as well. Their goal was a self-sufficient contentment. And we might hear these words from Paul and think that he's simply advocating self-sufficient stoicism. You can survive on your own. You don't need anything from outside. But in fact, it's far from it. Paul wrote, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Paul is content in Jesus. Think of the farm. Everything comes from inside, but not from you. Jesus is our food and water and power. Jesus provides everything. He gives us his Holy Spirit, as we heard in today's first reading from John's Gospel. This is how we can be content. Content in Jesus. Life may not be easy, but we trust Jesus to help us through. We look to him for strength to see us through every situation and difficulty. So the secret of contentment is to face every circumstance with the strength that God supplies. Believers can be content even when life is hard, like in a coronavirus lockdown. This is because our Father has planned these things and our Saviour gives us strength for them. So let me summarise as we come to finish. We've seen today that Philippians is a thank you letter. We've seen that giving money is part of gospel partnership. And we've seen two things about the secret of contentment. Firstly, we need to understand that humbling and painful circumstances are a normal part of following Christ. And secondly, that we face every circumstance with the strength that God supplies. This is the secret of contentment. This is Paul's secret of contentment. Well, as we finish this series, may God bless you with an increase in the joy of gospel partnership, both within our church family and also further afield. And may he also bless you with an increase of contentment, even at this time. May this the difficulties of COVID be a school which teaches us contentment in difficulties. May your understanding of the normal Christian life grow as you look to him for strength in the challenges of the coming weeks. This is the way of Christ at any time, and it's especially the way of Christ through this COVID season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you now for strength to see us through our difficulties. We thank you for this clarity that difficulties are normal in the Christian life. Thank you that that helps us to be content in you, whether we're in hardship or whether we have plenty and many blessings. So we look to you, Father, please help us. Sustain and strengthen us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Please supply us with the strength that we need this week to live faithfully for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to respond with a song. And as we focus on facing every circumstance with the strength that God supplies, I invite you to sing at home, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me."
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only
We begin with some words from Philippians. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In a week which has seen our country cross that landmark figure of 50,000 deaths from COVID, and even now stands at nearly 53,000, with consequences that are impacting every part of our society, affecting our economy and our well-being, it is hard to put these words of Paul into practice. And so we thank you, Lord, for the reminder that godliness with contentment is great gain, as Paul wrote to Timothy, and that it was something that he had to learn against a context of suffering and adversity. Writing this letter from prison, as Francis reminded us, chained to his guards, all too conscious of the difficulties threatening the young church he had planted not so long before, yet he begins his letter with thanks and praise, and that is where we should begin too. Whatever difficulties we might face, whatever the burdens of our hearts, we are God's holy people in Christ Jesus, not just at Philippi, but here at Fordham and in 8 Ash Green. Though we are necessarily few this morning here, we give thanks, Father, for the official acceptance of worship as intrinsic to the well-being of the nation, and the live streaming which allows so many to take part. We give thanks for our partnership in the gospel and the many ways that we find the Lord at work through us and in us, despite all our failures and inadequacies. For he who began a good work in you, Paul wrote, will indeed carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Lord, we have been reminded that those things we consider to be great setbacks can, in your providence, actually help to spread the gospel. Paul's example of steadfastness in prison demonstrated his submission to Christ and emboldened others to be more confident themselves and to dare to speak the word with great boldness and without fear. So we thank you, Lord, for the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, and the joy of knowing that grace which carries one through when, like Paul, one can pray the claim, or is it claim the prayer, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. As we think of the troubles that fill the headlines, from pandemics to Brexit, the civil unrest in America that has followed the elections, we cry to you for mercy on our troubled world. And we pray, Lord, that you would raise up men and women of integrity who will uphold justice and work to rebuild trust amongst the communities, that respect for difference may return, and that the rule of law would be upheld along with democratic process. We pray for our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, and his divided government, and pray that this latest reshuffle might bring in Christians who would impress upon him how blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his heritage. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord, we pray for businesses and all who play a part in the economic well-being of the country, lifting up to you those who face great uncertainty over their work. We pray for the elderly, the isolated, the vulnerable, those who are alone at this time and are suffering from the lack of human contact without the support of family or friends. Thank you for the witness and work of Leslie and Linda and her All Saints care team as they work to provide that friendship and support which is so much needed. And a prayer for our schools and colleges. Lord, we thank you for those who teach in our schools and colleges, for their commitment not just to providing for our children's education, but to maintaining a rhythm of normality in the midst of great change, a place of security when homes are not always happy or nurturing, and fears over jobs and the future can affect relationships. We want to thank you for the work Francis has been doing in his taking of assemblies in both our schools at Etash Green and Fordham, and pray for much fruit to come of that, as much amongst the staff and the parents as with the children. We pray, Lord, for the events being planned for Christmas, that the light of Christ might shine brightly as we hold out the word of life to lighten the darkness and bring back hope. We pray for the PCC meeting next week for unity and wise decisions, particularly over the use of money, that all might serve the gospel and be done to the glory of your name. Lord, for all who bear the burden and privilege of leadership in our churches, we pray for renewed courage to proclaim Christ crucified, standing firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose us. We pray for our archbishops, Justin and Stephen, that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And now a prayer for those we love. Father, we bring to you those who are grieving, those who are suffering with physical and mental ill health. In a moment of quiet, we bring them to you, Lord. Lord, we can only hold them in our hearts, for COVID has prevented us from holding them in our arms. But you, Lord, can sustain them with your grace so that they may hold fast to their hope and know that peace which transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In particular, at this time, we pray for Sandy Russell and cry to you for his healing, Lord. His work is so needed, his witness and work so transformative as he brings the light of Christ into the lives of so many. We think of the phrase he used in his last update. There is an urgency in the task unfinished that drives us to our knees. Lord, we echo that pleading because, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So we pray for his healing, for the establishing of his work at Biblica, for his ministry among local believers, and their progress and joy in the faith. But we pray this also for Kirsten and Vivi and Cameron. Keep them strong in faith and trusting in you, Lord. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Lastly, for ourselves, Lord, we pray. Grant us grace to stand firm, to press on, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, and to win the prize which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let us close our prayers by saying the words of the Collect together, as printed on the sheet. So together, Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you. Amen.
Mary, thank you for leading us in prayer. Coming to the end of our service for today and some items of church family news. Please join us on Zoom this morning from 11:30 to 12:30 for our virtual coffee time. And in the middle, when we're all together, there'll be an opportunity to discuss Philippians and today's sermon. This Wednesday evening for a Christmas planning and prayer time. Delivering a meaningful Christmas program is going to be challenging with the as yet unknown COVID restrictions. If you'd like to serve in some way over the Christmas season, I'd particularly like you to join in on the Zoom. We need help with decorating the churches and perhaps the JOB, different roles in the services, and delivering things to homes. So we need to come together as the body of Christ at this time to serve his purposes. Please let the church office know if you'd like to join in on Zoom. It's on Wednesday evening. But if you could let them know by Tuesday lunchtime, and then you'll be sent a link and a planning document for the Christmas program. Next Sunday, we're going to focus on Jesus Christ, looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And I hope that the sermon will give you a bigger vision of who Jesus is. The All Saints Club begins again next Sunday afternoon, not today but next week, with groups for 4 to 15-year-olds. We'd love you to join in online. Please see the details on page 5, and a parental consent form needs to be completed for each child. The next Renew Chelmsford partnership is in 2 weeks' time on Saturday, the 28th of November, 9 a.m. to 11:30. It's going to be held online, and the details are on page 6. The main speaker will be Jeremy Anderson, focusing on church finances under COVID and taking collective action through financial gospel partnership. The Advent season begins in just 2 weeks' time, and I want to recommend this book to you as a resource for your own personal devotions during December. It's called Fixated, written by Tim Chester, and it's about being fixated on Jesus. Each day, Tim will take you through the early chapters of the book of Hebrews with a short 2 or 3 page meditation on a verse or verses. They're interesting and very readable, with a reflection point at the end to help you to pray each day. 10 of those will deliver it to your door for just £3.50, including postage and packaging, a bargain. So if you'd like a copy, please email Linda in the church office by this Wednesday, so only a couple of days away, so that we can make sure that they arrive in time for the 1st of December. Details are on page 8 of the notice sheet. Well, let's finish our time together with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. Thank you that you're calling and building your church worldwide, even during this time of lockdown. Please help us to fix our eyes on Jesus this coming Advent and Christmas season. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And we pray that humility modeled to us by Jesus would increase amongst us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you transform us and shape us and lead us. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.